This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
When Jesus takes human form then, in the weakness of his humanity, what does he do? He still craves that communion. He still loves to enjoy that fellowship. And so he prays and he prays and he prays and he prays. He makes room for that relationship. It's too important to neglect.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message titled, Pray Like This.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And here we find Jesus teaching his disciples how to pray. He teaches them how to pray because they're asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. They see Jesus as an amazing man of prayer, and they recognize that the way they pray is very different from the way they see Jesus praying, and they want to learn. I trust that as we open up our Bibles together, that your heart is similar to the disciples, that it's hungry to learn how to have the kind of fellowship, the kind of interaction with God personally every day that's vibrant, that's life-giving, that's energetic, that's joyful. You know, it's possible to have that kind of relationship with the living God, that every day we would just wake up with an enthusiasm to fellowship and commune with him. Well, Jesus teaches us the way toward that kind of life, and so let's open up our Bibles together to Luke chapter 11 and learn how we might pray.
To be a Christian is to be adopted into God's family through faith in Jesus. It's amazing that God would initiate a relationship with us in such a deep, intimate, binding way. This is what John's Gospel teaches us about the beginning of the Christian life. He says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. How God loves us that we should be called his children. Isn't that amazing? That we would be the ones adopted into his family. To live as a Christian is to relate to God not only as our mighty creator, as our sovereign Lord, but also as our generous father, our daddy, our Abba. As beloved children, we sit at his feet while he gladly speaks to us, and we open up our hearts to share with him all of our cares. Because God is our father, the Bible and prayer are central to the daily lives of every Christian. The Bible has been given to us so that we could listen to God speak to us, speak actively to us, truly to us, personally to us. You know, this book, it's not a dusty, dead thing, but it's a medium by which God actively, in a living way, speaks to his children, revealing himself, revealing his will. And prayer has been given to us so that we could converse with God, so we could talk with him as a little child does his or her daddy. Prayer, it's not a bunch of words that we recite with our eyes closed. It's not a discipline so much as it is an intimate conversation between us and our Father. So Bible reading and prayer, they're not so much disciplines that we perform as they are bridges of relationship. Through the Word, God makes himself known to us, and through prayer, we open up our lives to God, and God answers our individual cares. So when I read books about the reading of God's Word, they tell me that nothing is more important to a Christian man or woman than daily listening to God's voice through Scripture. And then I pick up books about prayer, and I read this encouragement of our need to converse with God in prayer. And these books tell me that nothing is more important to the Christian man or woman than prayer. So I ask, well, which of these books are right? Is the reading of God's Word most important to our soul, or is prayer the most important thing to our soul? And here's the answer. Yes. Yes. This question, it's a bit like asking, which is more important, inhaling or exhaling? Without both of them working together, we will die. Nothing is more vital to the joy of our souls than for us to learn how to listen to God through His Word and to talk with God in prayer. So for the next 4 weeks, we're asking you to pray that God will use our time in the Word together to elevate our prayer life, to ignite a passion for prayer. Let's think of the benefits that we all would experience if we prayed as we ought, if we learned to pray. We would enjoy deeper fellowship with God. We'd be led by God in our decisions and our relationships. We'd be far less anxious about tomorrow. We would have our hearts protected by God's peace in every circumstance. We would see more miracles in our family, in our church. We'd be more content with what we have. We'd be more aware of our own sins. We'd be more forgiving of others instead of embittered. And we'd become more and more like Jesus. All of these blessings and more would be ours if we simply grew in prayer. These are within our reach. I was reminded this week through a number of experiences that God is a really, really personal God. He walks among His people and He arranges circumstances in the most loving ways to attend to our needs, to stimulate us toward faith. For instance, as I was preparing this sermon series on prayer, I received a note from a first grader in our church. And the note simply read, "Dear Pastor Burkle, thank you for teaching us about Jesus. Jesus will help you to pray. I'm praying for you, your friend." I love that this little girl's praying for me. I need it. And I also love that she knows that her pastor needs Jesus to help him pray. I love that. That's profound. Jesus will help you to pray. No one learns prayer through their own power, through their own discipline. We need Jesus. We need God's Spirit. As we open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 11 this morning, the main idea we're going to follow is simply a cry to God, "Lord Jesus, teach us to pray." Jesus points the way for us to grow in prayer, and He helps us first by way of example. You're taking notes. We consider how Jesus set a praying example. Look at verse 1 for us. "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' as John taught his disciples to pray." Jesus didn't make an external show of His praying, but His disciples couldn't be around Him for very long without seeing the priority prayer had in His life. Now, keep in mind that prayer among the Jews was extraordinary to our culture. So the ordinary religious Jewish man or woman would pray 3 times a day, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, boom, 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 every day they would have a time of prayer. But Jesus' priority in prayer went way beyond what was ordinary in His day, way beyond it. So much so that the disciples, there's something extraordinary about this man. And one of the things extraordinary is His communion with God, His praying. We've already seen Luke describe this in his gospel many occasions. Let's consider a few of them. At Jesus' baptism, this is what Luke writes. "Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended on him in the bodily form, like a dove. A voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased.'" At His baptism, Jesus is seen praying. Not just at His baptism, but also after successful healings in Luke chapter 5. "But now even more, the report about Him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear Him and to be healed of their infirmities." This is what every traveling evangelist desires, is crowds and crowds and crowds of people coming, coming, coming. This is the opportunity. This is the moment. But what would Jesus do? He would withdraw from the crowds. He would withdraw from the populace, the popularity and all that acclaim that was being given him. He'd withdraw to a quiet place to pray. "Before choosing the 12, this is what Luke records, "In those days He went out to the mountain to pray, and all night He continued in prayer to God." I asked myself, when was the last time I spent all night in prayer to God for anything? That's Jesus. "And when day came, He called His disciples and chose from them 12. Before a miracle, Jesus prayed. Luke 9, after taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up into heaven and said a blessing over them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and they all ate and were satisfied, and there were 12 baskets left over. Prayer preceded the miracle. Before he asked for a definite public confession from his disciples, Luke 9, now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And so he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? And they replied, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say prophets of the Old Testament have risen. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. He prayed before he asked for that public confession. Before his transfiguration, when his disciples saw his glory, now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and James and John, and he went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing came dazzling white. And then we finally come to our text today in Luke. All these are from Luke's just gospel, just running through the priority, the habit, the passion, the zeal, the fervency that Jesus had in prayer. It says, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And finally he said, okay, we get it. You know, at all these important events, before, during, after, you're praying. Jesus, would you teach us to pray? We need what you have. From all eternity, Jesus the Son has been in unbroken fellowship with the Father. Think of that. God Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all of eternity past in this communion, in this fellowship, a communion that was loved, a communion that was enjoyed. There's no greater delight than the relationship found within the Godhead. When Jesus takes human form then, in the weakness of his humanity, what does he do? He still craves that communion. He still loves to enjoy that fellowship. And so he prays and he prays and he prays and he prays. He makes room for that relationship. It's too important to neglect. It's his chief priority. Before his mission is his love for the Father and the Spirit. It's for the community found in himself, in the one God. A little wonder the disciples looked at Jesus and said, hey, teach us to pray. The relationship you have with the Father, we need that. That's what life is about. That's what everything is that we're doing here and following you. That's what we need to know. Teach us to pray. Now, keep in mind, Jesus is God, a very God. He's eternal, he's almighty, and yet Jesus prayed. And many point out, and I would share with you today, if the God-man needed to pray to overcome weaknesses of his humanity, how much more must we? This is what the writer of Hebrews says about that very idea. He says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. So in the days of his humanity, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications. Again, the writer of Hebrews said, Jesus prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed some more. Prayed some more. Paul Miller would say, if you know that you, like Jesus, can't do life on your own, then prayer makes complete sense. Our prayerlessness is often because we have this idea that we can do life on our own. When the disciples came to Jesus, this is the only occasion that we have in the Gospels of the disciples coming directly and asking Jesus to teach them on some subject. Now, Jesus taught them on many subjects, but this is the only time that the disciples says, would you teach us about this? This is the course, this is the elective course we want to take. Would you teach us about this? Notice they didn't say, Jesus, could you teach us about miracles? How to do them, because that's so crazy, that's amazing. Teach us how to cast out demons. Teach us how to preach. Man, when you preach, everybody listens. We want to be able to do that too. No, they looked at Jesus and they cut to the heart of the matter. He says, when we look at your life, this is the one thing that we need more than anything else to have what you have, which is this fulfillment, this joy, this life. Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Friend, do you feel the need for a deeper walk with God? Perhaps God is present in your life, but he's not close. He touches the surface of your life, but your life is not bound to his. It's not united. Your relationship with God, it lacks fire, it lacks vitality. Indeed, if this is so, know that you're not alone. I think this is where the disciples are, and that's why they want to have their hearts warmed. They want their hearts to be full of zeal for God. Many, many disciples of Jesus are living without this intimate connection with a faith that yawns. It's sort of bored with it all. And it's this that the disciples understood. If we could get this right, then everything else would be filled with life, filled with energy. Here's the application I would encourage you to make. Cry out, Lord, teach us to pray. Would you do that? Take a moment each morning this week by way of application for this series and just say, Lord, would you teach me to pray? Teach us, teach me and my friends, teach me and my church, teach me and my house, teach us to pray. You know, Jesus will always answer that cry. He does for the disciples. If you are sincere in that, Lord, here's a problem. My heart is not full of zeal and fire. It's become lukewarm. Lord, my life is not consumed with a passion for your glory. If that's true, then pray, Lord, teach us to pray and watch God do miracles. Watch him answer that prayer in amazing ways. So we learned through Jesus' example, he set the example in prayer, but also he shared a praying attitude with us. Look at verse 2. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Say, Father. So Jesus begins his lesson on prayer by teaching us to think of God as our Father. He's teaching us that the attitude that fills prayer with power, with purpose, is the attitude of a child. The attitude of a child toward their dad. I remember when my oldest son got whacked in the head with a hockey stick and blood was running all down his head, and he discovered the blood. He was really scared, and the first thing he did is he cried out, Daddy, Daddy! And I remember when my third son was in a head-on collision, just right out here at 150, and I got a phone call from his phone by a stranger saying, your son's been in an accident, and raced to that scene. And my son's being put on that stretcher, and he's being bound up, and he looks at me, and he says, Daddy, Daddy. That's what he said. It's the heart of a child. This is, I'm looking for help. I'm looking for support. I'm looking to have my needs met. Daddy, Daddy. And God arranges, you know, this relationship of a dad and a mom in the family to represent him. That's why Jesus says, Father, this is how you pray. It's just like that. It's just like that. Come like a little child in desperate need to a dad who loves you, to a dad who is all capable, to a dad all powerful, to a dad all wise, a dad who never fails. Come like that to a child who has that kind of dad and a child who is in desperate need. This is the attitude of prayer. This is what drives us forward. Father, it's such an intimate relationship. Some think that we could translate this, or instead of Father, translate just simply Daddy. And I think those get the meaning right. And others protest, well, I think that's reading too much of the text. But I would just have you look down at verses 11 through 13 of this chapter as Jesus continues teaching about prayer. He goes on by way of explanation to drive this attitude home. He says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, what father would give him a scorpion? What kind of father would do that? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus often points to children to teach us how to live by faith, how to live by humble dependence upon God as our Father. And here Jesus is teaching us to have the attitude of a little child toward their dad when we pray, when we talk to him. And we ask the question, well, what do little children say when they talk to their dads? And the answer is everything. they don't have anything that limits their conversation. How often do they talk to the dads? Well, they engage over and over with joy. Now, some little children are more talkative than others, to be sure, but little children who have loving dads never afraid to ask what they desire. They ask. They ask boldly. They ask sincerely. They ask repeatedly. It's a lovely thing. And a conversation with a little child, it's often messy. It jumps from this to that to the other thing, seeming without any logical connection. Oftentimes it's filled with emotion, all kinds of emotion. They're all scattered because that little child just pouring out their heart. That's the kind of conversation that Jesus is saying is right, is necessary for us in prayer. It's not sophisticated, but it's real. It's often even repetitive. Can I? Can I? Can I? Can I? Can I? But above everything else, it's real. It's not an external show. It's not formal. It's not legalistic. Really close attention to the rules of grammar. It's not measured by what is said in it. It's measured by the heart of it. So here's the truth. Prayer is the child's real cry of helpless desperation. That's what prayer is. It's a real cry of helpless desperation. Prayer is the child's call to their dad as they look for help, comfort, provision, forgiveness, and guidance. And I think Jesus models this attitude all through his life, but even in his death. You remember in the garden, he's praying to the Father. He's asking his disciples to join in prayer. They're sleeping. But he prays out, Father, Daddy, Abba, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Father! Cry of desperation. And on the cross, Luke 23 records that it came to the place that's called the skull. There they crucified him, the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Father! Daddy, Daddy! Now, the big question before we dig deeper into the subject of prayer is this. Do you have God as your Father? It's the most important question before we take even one step further in the subject of prayer. Do you have God as your Father? And I tell you, on the basis of Scripture and what Jesus has said, most do not. Most people in the world don't have God as their Father. Jesus said, the way is narrow. Few are those who find it. Most people in the world do not have God as their Father, and I would ask you, do you?
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We want you to know, as a listener to this radio ministry, we pray for you, and we take that seriously. We would love to pray for you specifically. We're entering into a new series on prayer. We pray that this series would enliven and quicken and energize your walk with God, and particularly that aspect of your walk with God where you're communing with Him, conversing with Him, talking with Him through prayer. That God would just draw near to you as you draw near to Him. But we would love to hear more about practical ways we can intercede for you. And so we would invite you to go to our website and share with us how we might pray. As the teaching pastor here on this radio ministry, I want to make a commitment to you that I will pray for you. And I believe that God hears us when we pray. I believe those prayers are powerful. So please, won't you let us enter into your need by praying for you? Connect with us, share with us how we might pray for you specifically.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback. And please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.